This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:46 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shauning and Jen Sun. Now in politics, the Malay heartland of Felda and Felkra covers 90 parliamentary seats, or 41% of the total seats in the Dewan Rakyat. These have traditionally been a reliable vote bank for Barisan Nasional, no thanks to decades of gerrymandering and malapportionment.
However, G14 saw a significant erosion of support for UMNO and BN in the Felda seats, with Pakatan Harapan and PAS winning a sizable share of the vote in 2018. Given the competitive landscape for Malay votes, UMNO is going all out to win back the rural vote base, announcing debt relief packages, profit-sharing distribution schemes and housing incentives for Felda and Felkra settlers in recent weeks.
With that, the Malay demographic is expected to split three ways between BN, PN and GTA. So who will succeed in winning the hearts and minds of the Malay heartland? And what does that bode for the direction of politics in this country?
For analysis on what's at stake, we speak to Dr. Bridget Walsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Centre of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Bridget, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Let's look back at GE14 back in 2018. What explains the erosion of support for Barisan Nasional then? And what alternatives did voters go for and why?
Good morning. Good morning from KK. I would say that, you know, what happened in GE14 is that we saw two things. Bersatu focusing, recognizing the problems in the Felda area and allowing access for Pakatan Harapan into these communities because they had been very distrustful of the opposition. And second of all, there had been scandals that had involved land deals and others that opened up the kind of concerns of the Felda communities involving the management of land, the issues of their resources, the economic conditions. And we saw a significant swing in voting patterns as regard to these two things, access points and the issues that were brought to the attention of the opposition.
And Bridget, however, you've observed that early indications show voter sentiment shifting back to UMNO. So what are the factors in UMNO and or Barisan Nasional's favour?
Well, I think, you know, the election campaign is very fluid. I think we did see UMNO did very well in Felda areas in the Johor election and some of the Felda areas which are less in Malacca. But I think we do see that the competition is quite fierce nationally. What we saw in the key issues here, first of all, BN has a very strong party brand. UMNO is still very important because the Felda communities were kind of connected into the history of the party going back into the 70s when the Felda settlers were actually, you know, given land and other and so forth. So it's a very long generational connection. With that comes the second factor, which is machinery. BN has larger machinery in these areas. Of course, it's very uneven, and the party is split compared to where it was before, but it is still compared to other parties. Has the most connection on the ground. And that comes to the third factor, which is there is these trust networks and familiarity. And especially in this period of confusion where there's a lot of Malay competition among the different parties, the familiarity is crucial, especially for older voters who build on these issues of trust networks and kind of say, hey, wait a minute, I know this person better this party better compared to others. And that, of course, connects to the fourth issue, which is patronage. You know, you have trust networks to be able to access services, being able to solve problems with government, being able to find a school for your child or address a problem that emerges. Patronage networks are very important. This is where Pakatan Nasional is most challenging UMNO, because they're really pouring in resources into the campaign, including into the Felda areas. And of course, we can see PN had used the issue of Felda issues and Muhyiddin's period in office of trying to address the concerns of the Felda settlers as part of their campaign messaging. But things are changing, and it is a very fluid dynamic. And while you did say earlier that only three parties are going, there are still some places where Harapan is important in some of the Felda areas, especially depending on the personality of the candidate.
So let's talk about Harapan. How do you think they're going to do in these Felda areas? Is it going to be a hard sell for for voters there?
Well, you know, I think many of the Harapan candidates are not as locally rooted. You know, I think this is, you know, many of them have been parachuted in, or they, you know, they don't have the strongest ties. And then, of course, Harapan doesn't have the same level of machinery. You know, they've only been able to access some of these areas relatively recently. I mean, keep in mind, you know, before 2018, you couldn't even move into these election areas. In some seats. I think also the problem with Harapan is that its agenda doesn't necessarily, you know, focus very much on the rural areas. You know, it's focused on more urban-oriented issues. And I think that this is one of the serious deficits of Harapan's agenda. Yes, there are issues of agriculture and others that they're starting to include, but it doesn't seem to be as central in terms of the framing of what Harapan is standing for and its priorities. And I think that, you know, there's also, Harapan has to face a lot of disinformation, decades of disinformation and kind of hate speech that has been poured into these, you know, issues of racialized politics, the kind of perceptions of the other. Because, you know, this vote bank has been so important and it has also been so mobilized in a particular way for particular, you know, for UMNO's political base. So the sources of information and the cultural framings of issues for that, how people perceive Harapan, is very different in these rural areas.
So Bridget, what do you think Felda voters won from the government? Is it hard to generalize because they're 91, it covers 91 constituencies, right? But based on your research on the ground, is it government largesse, handouts, the primary focus?
You know, Felda voters are like the rest of Malaysian voters. They want better government. But what their particular concerns at the government levels are, you know, they want less vulnerability, more security, more assistance with their livelihoods. They want particularly the services have declined in recent decades, and especially the maintenance of facilities and roads. They would like those to be improved. But I think Felda communities have some unique features. And of course, there's variation among the different federal settlers. But I think that one of the real challenges is that there is limited social mobility for these communities, especially for younger generation. Many of the younger generation have to work outside of these communities for jobs. We can see that the data shows that there is less access to universities, more kind of intergenerational kind of poverty, and particularly less socioeconomic advancements that has become kind of instilled across generations within the Felda areas. And I think there hasn't been, you know, a kind of more holistic approach to address, you know, what are the underlying dynamics that are constraining social mobility in these areas. I think, you know, what the whole dimension of how to develop Malaysia's rural areas, how to engage in the agricultural sector, which is so pivotal for food security in Malaysia, as opposed to looking at these communities as someone to galvanize during the election period and to rely on a kind of top-down type of more, as opposed to more interactive exchange. I think these are harder questions. And I think, you know, Felda voters now are much more connected on to information and expect more from their government, but they don't necessarily see a place within the larger pattern of national development and a place for their children to grow and to be part of the advancement.
So Bridget, I mean, you raised a lot of really good points about how these rural areas have not been factored into the broader picture of social development for the country. I'm wondering if then that gives the space for parties like PAS, perhaps, or you mentioned earlier how Bersatu was the one who opened the door for Pakatan Harapan back in GE14. Now that in GE15 we see PAS and Bersatu on the same side, will they be making even more inroads into these rural areas?
Well, they're certainly hoping to do so, and they're certainly spending enough money to try to do so. I would say that, you know, what we see that PAS and Bersatu, PN, the coalition, has done is that they have really been very calculating about their local candidate choice. But I can see, you know, there is variation, but PAS in particular, it really has been trying to galvanize its local networks to build those trust networks that I talked about just now. So you can see the expansion of religious schools in Felda areas. And PAS has also expanded local services, creating childcare centers and providing assistance, especially to women. We can see that we can find that they've been focusing on trying to give resources to entrepreneurs and access to capital and school fees and others because of the spending that's happening at the local area. But Muhyiddin himself, who as the leader of Bersatu, what he has done is that he basically has the record when he was in office of trying to address the concerns of federalist settlers after the Sheraton move of 2020. And that is something that PAS and Bersatu are capitalizing on. And more fundamentally, PAS and PN are particularly, you know, mobilizing this sense that, of displacement, the sense that they've been ignored and traditional fears that I was talking earlier about, the disinformation about the other. Racialized politics is being used in these Felda areas, saying, hey, if you don't vote in a particular way, then of course you will continue to be displaced. And those types of messaging at the local areas are really trying to help to build PAS and PN's local support in these Felda communities.
And Bridget, are there any differences in Felda voter sentiments across the state lines? Do Felda voters in Johor differ greatly from those in Pahang, or are the issues that concern them largely the same?
Well, I think it's very different. I mean, I think, you know, the state dynamics do matter. And the other factor that keep in mind is also different generation of Felda settlers. So there are different sets of problems and challenges that, you know, I think it's important to recognize in these, you know, wide scope of places that we talk a lot about variation here. And in particular, I like to shout out to the work of Yulin Kaur, who's really written about some of these important differences. But let me just pick a few key things that I think are important. First is that it depends on the state, because the state government has programs. We can see that in Johor, there's been a lot more support for agriculture at the state level compared to a place like Kedah or even Kelantan. There's also levels of vulnerability. We can see really in the Felda areas in Sabah and Sarawak, you know, really high levels of poverty. There's still poverty in other parts of the country, but there are variations here. There's the quality of the management of the land of these sectors and the environmental challenges that the Felda areas are facing. Keep in mind that they are in the front line of much of the environmental climate change issues in this area. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, finally, there are the choices that people have. So in some Felda seats where you have like in Terengganu, PAS is much more of a powerful option, while in Johor, PAS is seen as less of an option. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the power and the different dynamics within the Malay political struggle and the different parties on offer affect who people might choose. And I think, you know, this is why we're seeing some of that movement. And of course, as power has been decentralized and states have done more interventions, we see a dynamic where they may choose different sets of options.
I'm so sorry that we have to cut you short, but thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate from the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, talking about the Malay heartland. Fascinating stuff. Please read her full article at Malaysia Kini. 8 a.m. We're heading into the news, and on the Breakfast Grill after that, Wong Xiaoning speaks to Sean Hesh of GHL, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.